Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the Bell Mansion.
After they did the addition in 1935, they had the larger embalming room across the hall, which did the remainder of the embalming throughout the years. But there's an estimated of 300,000 to 600,000 bodies that had been in and out of that place. So it's been a high traffic facility Whoa. For a long time. So yeah, when you go in that embalming room and you really sit and think about that, all of the people that had been in and out of that room, it is a little unsettling. And it's just kind of leaves you with a weird feeling. Nothing, you know, negative, but it just kind of, you tackle your own mortality when you think about things like that.
300,000 to 600,000. But you know, yes. You do consider it was close to 100 years that it was in mm-hmm. operation. That just kind of blew me away. Because
yeah, it's a little bit of an overload, you know. And then there was another event in 1982. Fort Wayne suffered a really horrible flood, and there was a lot of damage in the downtown area and a lot of death, unfortunately. And there were so many bodies coming into the funeral home that they were actually shoving the bodies in through a basement window and just stacking them wherever they could put them because they were so backed up. So that kind of leaves a little bit of a residual footprint yeah. too, to think about when you're down in the basement.
It kind of makes me think, you know, funeral homes are one of those places that, you know, I've heard of, my sister had a funeral home, an old building built in the 1800s, and it was built as a funeral home. And I'm like, well, why would a funeral home be haunted? Because the bodies are coming in for preparation, and that isn't where you'd want to haunt. But then it made me mm-hmm. kind of think, does it attract it, the spirits? You know, does it make it more of a transitory place where they're not necessarily there all the time, it kind of opens up to like the traveler spirits is a kind of, I don't know if I'm sure there's a better way to describe that, but you know what I'm saying. So I wonder if there's some of that going on in the Bell Mansion.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we have that same conversation almost on a monthly basis. We have the resident spirits, which kind of seem to be more when the home was a residence. They kind of hung around from then. And then, yeah, we get a lot of spirits that are kind of passing through that we'll make contact with, which seems to be the same one for a little while. And then all of a sudden they're gone. So it's almost just like a portal or a resting stop for them. Or, I mean, who knows how it works? I mean, no hurry to find out how it truly works, but yeah, it does seem to be kind of like a highway for a lot of them.
A highway. That's a good way to look at it. In some places mm-hmm. I've talked to, they have said they'll make contact with a certain person and then she's gone and then maybe comes back down the road, maybe not. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of common, but with what took place in that building, all that death coming into that building on a daily basis for almost 100 years. And then you think of the, you know, the flood is a great example, the trauma that went mm-hmm. with that. You know, there's a lot of pain. So, you know, I don't know if you're a spirit, do you stay with, you know, where you died? Do you follow your body for a while? I don't know. It's an interesting concept. Because I could see, especially with a flood or something, you know, you got up that day and had no idea it was going to be your last day. And no idea the flood would be so bad. So it seems like you could be kind of confused at that time of death.
Yeah, I agree. That's something I talk about often with people is, you know, why spirits choose to stay where they do, or why haven't they crossed over, or have they crossed over, but they still have free will to come back. You know, there's so many questions that, you know, I'm sure someday we'll all find out, but it's just kind of, that's a very interesting topic. And it's very interesting to hear what other people, what their ideas might be on the situation. But I do think that sometimes if you're taken suddenly, your spirit or your soul is confused and maybe they tend to stick around, or there's that conflicted feeling whether to go to the other side or keep hanging around, or if somebody is attached to their home. And then you think about that, like haunted locations, and some of these locations get torn down. Do they stay with the land, or do they decide to pass on when their home was torn down? You know, there's mm-hmm. just so many questions out there and so many different ways to look at it.
And when they purchased the building, did they do any renovations or change some things that also might have kind of stirred some activity up?
Not a whole lot. They had redone, there's a small portion on the first floor that just kind of needed fixed. And then they added a bathroom back there. So yeah, there was a little bit of a renovation, but it wasn't a huge undertaking. It was just more of a fixing up type of thing. But I'm sure that definitely stirred something up.
Well, and for a building, a home, a business, I guess it's all those things, to be what, close to 130 years old in there mm-hmm. and plus a little bit, for it to be in as good a shape as what it was when you purchased it, that's amazing. Because so often those buildings haven't been loved. They haven't been maintained. So then people are trying to restore them and it's just this massively huge, expensive project. So I'm really mm-hmm. glad that y'all stepped in and kept it going.
Yeah, me too. Because I would have been ashamed to see something that beautiful just, you know, become dilapidated or become a parking lot or fall into the wrong hands and be chopped up into 8 different apartments. You know, right. so many of those beautiful Victorian homes get, you know, torn up from that, from these landowners, or I should say landlords, making these homes into multiple apartments. And when at one point in time, they're just a grand, beautiful home. So just keeping that preservation of it is just so important to all of us. I mean, everyone that's there loves that building so much, and we all have such an affection for the building. And it's almost like the energy of the building affects those who come in. I think everybody just kind of falls in love with it and they want to take care of it. It's a very cool energy.
That's interesting you'd say that, because when I first reached out and you got back with me, I could tell just through email that you were very passionate about this building. And you said something to the effect of, we love to talk about the Bell Mansion and we love to share the story of it. What do you think that is? I think it's so interesting because with paranormal activity, sometimes people might be very afraid of it, but you're actually drawn to it. And yeah, so there's something very comfortable.
Very
there.
Odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is weird. Sometimes, you know, I think even if a building is not haunted, as I say, stick with me here. I have a point to this. even if a building, I'm not saying the Bell, but just in general, if a building is not haunted by spirits, buildings can still put out energy and try to draw people into them. Someone to really listen to on that matter would be Brian Kano. And I actually just listened to him do a lecture a couple months ago at Michigan Paracon. And what he had said made total sense. And it's something I had never thought about before until hearing him say it. And then I'm like, I think the Bell does that. Even though we have their own spirits inside of it, I almost feel like the building itself is a spirit in a way, or it's manifested one, because these buildings seem to reach out to people, and then people seem to fall in love with them and then want to keep coming back. There's something that people can't get enough of. And again, I'm not just speaking for the Bell here. It's happened in a lot of other locations. So he used the example of, they did a Paracon at Pottstown Elementary School, and he didn't think that it was haunted by spirits. You know, it was an elementary school. There was no tragedy there. No children died there. You know, there's nothing there that would make it haunted. But during that Paracon, there wasn't anybody really there. Long story short, somehow everybody got Nerf guns and they ended up in a major Nerf gun war. And then the owner of the building came out and he's like, hey, knock it off. People are coming. You know, so they kind of got scolded like little kids. And this kind of continued throughout the day. And he said after he reflected on that day and how much fun they had had, and with these Nerf darts flying everywhere and everyone laughing and, you know, using tables as shields. And he goes, it was almost like the building possessed everybody. And to that childlike play, he said, because we were in a gymnasium, what did children do in an elementary school gymnasium? They played. And he said, here, there are a bunch of grown adults. And all of a sudden, everybody started playing like children again. So he was talking about how the energy of these buildings can affect people for good or for bad. You know, and in that case, it was good and it was fun. It was a fun energy. And I think that sometimes buildings can have that effect on people. Just, you know, going back to the Bell, everybody loves it. And it's a very positive and addicting place to be. You just can't get enough of it.
That's an interesting way to put it, an addicting place to be.
Yeah, strong words there, but it is. You want to be there once you've been there.
I think it's interesting. When I bought this house, it was the first house I looked at. I walked in, took maybe 5 steps, and I remember stopping in the front room, and I said in my head, I'll never forget it, I could live here. I just knew I want to live here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really should look at another house. You don't buy the first house you look at. But I knew it. It was like this feeling that the house gave me. I don't know. I've wondered that before. Is it a familiar energy there? Is it a maternal energy? Is it a loving energy? Is it the spirits that were here before that could still be here? They just stay in the background because they love it here. Does Robert love being in the mansion, maybe? And you pick up on that. I don't know.
Yeah, Robert and Clara both. We've picked up on both of them there. And even though they didn't live there quite as long as the Noble family did, it's just that was their home that they built. I mean, that was a special place for them.
Then you have to wonder when the other family had purchased it, because they lived there over 20 years. I wonder if they had experiences with Robert and Clara while they were living there.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
You know, how long has it been haunted? It could go back a long ways. And I think as a funeral home, I don't know. I think you do get used to it. I know my dad, you know, that was just his job. But as a kid, mm-hmm. when I would walk into the embalming room, we didn't live in the same city growing up. But when I'd walk into the embalming room and see a dead body on the table, it was a little disturbing for me as a child.
I would say.
But my dad, he did a good job of explaining it to me. And he's like, what questions do you have? I'll answer any questions you have. You know, he tried to not make it a scary thing. And which I appreciate that, but it's still weird as a kid. And then when you think about the number of the 300 to 600,000 bodies that came in and out of there, that's incredible. How could that not affect the building?
Yeah, especially for the traumatic deaths that have come through. You know, I think everything leaves a residual imprint.
Is it interesting to you when you do get the results from some of the investigations and hear that excitement in their voice because you are so attached to the building? And then when you share it with somebody and you get that feedback from them, that's got to be very exciting.
Yes, it's exciting and it's validating, you know, because with anything, which now we're past that for the bell, but when you first start experiencing things, you always question yourself, did this happen? Did I really hear that? Did I really see that? Is this really going on? And then when you have multiple people coming with the same exact experiences, then that really validates that something really truly is going on there.
What do you think are
so it's exciting.
What do you feel are the more hot spots of the house, or is it the house in general? But like I saw a video with them in the embalming room and one of the guys laid on the table. I'm like, whoa, couldn't do that. But the embalming room to me always seems like, I mean, if you were just to walk in there at night, it'd be like, ooh. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the hot spot of activity for the house. Is there a place that's more active than another spot?
You know, I think that answer would probably differ amongst some of the volunteers in the building. For me, the third floor is always a go-to, always a hot spot. Between Clara's old ballroom, that's the room that Andykin hangs out in. The poker room is probably one of my favorite rooms to do any kind of investigating in. The servant's bedroom on the third floor. The embalming room, yeah, there is a lot of activity in there as well. But for me personally, I think the third floor is definitely the biggest hotspot.
And you do some fun events there. So I saw that coming up in January, you have the cast of 28 Days Haunted will be there.
Yes.
What's that going to be like?
We are so excited for that. So January 19th and 20th, we are having the cast of 28 Days Haunted there. So Friday night, we will have a VIP party. And then Saturday, they will have a vendor event with a meet and greet area for the cast. And people can come in, do their shopping, check out all these vendors. We get the most incredible vendors that come to these events. They have just the most coolest to crazy, to beautiful things. I mean, just all different kinds of things to check out. And then again, the whole celebrity area, which they'll have their own merchandise that you'd be able to purchase. You'd be able to get your pictures, chat with them a little bit. And then in the afternoon, they will do a speaking panel about their time on the show and how their experiences were personally and answer questions for people. And then Saturday evening, they will have a celebrity ghost hunt. So people have the opportunity to come and actually do some paranormal investigating with the entire cast of 28 Days Haunted.
That's so fun. And just in case you're listening to this 2 years from now, that'll be January 2024. But what's fun is that you have a lot of different events. Like I saw that you have a zombie prom coming up. So you do these events throughout the year.
We do. I mean, every month there's something to always be looking for. And you can find all of that on all of the social media platforms. The Bell Mansion is on all of them. We have, so just for instance, Fort Wayne is doing a thing called the Chocolate Walk. So there's over 20 businesses in Fort Wayne that are participating in this. Bell Mansion is one of them. So you can check out chocolates from different chocolatiers, and I'm not really sure what else that contains, but anything chocolate, I'm down for that. But October 7th, they're doing the chocolate walk. And then the zombie prom is coming up in October. We have two masquerade balls that have actually both sold out for October. And that's, you know, that's a very big deal for both balls to be sold out. We started with one, and then the demand was high once people found out the first one was sold out, and the second one sold out as well. And then in December, we have Dustin Perry coming to speak. And we also are having a winter formal. And then going into the new year, that's when we're kicking. Oh, going into the new year, we're kicking off the new year with a Gatsby ball. So that's so they had one last year that was a lot of fun. So this year will be a great one to attend as well. And then the 28 Days Haunted event. And I mean, it's just one of those things. You just have to keep actively checking our socials because there is always something coming up.
And what's fun about like an event like the Gatsby ball, where people will be coming in costume and the music will be of a different time era, I'm going to guess, because it's Great Gatsby. I would think, too, that would kind of stir up some activity in the mansion because it kind of takes it back to a whole different era that it did live through at one time, you know? I doubt that they were doing Gatsby balls when it was a funeral home, but... You know, it was a familiar thing to some of the spirits, that time era. So I would just think that could kind of stir some activity up. Might be fun to go to that.
Yeah, I look forward to finding out.
Yeah, go to the Gatsby ball and then stick around, do a little investigation once everybody leaves and then report back. Let me know.
Definitely will.
I would love to hear how it goes. But yeah, there's like, because we're recording this at the end of September 2023. In looking at your calendar, October is just booked with different ghost tours and flashlight tours and investigations. So there's all kinds of things throughout the year, something for everybody, whether you're a seasoned investigator or you're just somebody who's like, I would really like to go there. It sounds very interesting. Don't know what to do. Well, here's a flashlight. We will take you on a tour.
Yeah.
And they can get more information. It's thebellmansion.com. Or search the Bell Mansion on Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I would say Facebook is probably my favorite resource to check in with the Bell to see what they have going on. We try to stay active on everything, but I just feel like Facebook is probably a little bit easier to check on. But you can find information on all platforms.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about the Bell Mansion today. I'm really interested in it. Would love to see it sometime because it's gorgeous, number one. And just to be there and kind of pick up on all the energy there would be really fascinating.
That would be. I would love to have you visit sometime. If you're ever in the area, please get a hold of us and drop in. We would absolutely love to show you around. But thank you very much for having me today. I'm always excited to talk about the Bell.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Bell Mansion. You can get more information at their website, thebellmansion.com, or you can visit their Facebook page. Just search The Bell Mansion LLC. If you would like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Everything is there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.